Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
They could be dreaming and meeting each other in their dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home.
Until here we go, here we go.
You know I'm free to roam.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. In 1 hour, and my name is Ian Lee, dear listener. Good evening. Welcome to the Late Night Alternative. Who are you?
Doris Stokes.
Thank you very much. Oh, spooky, spooky vibes tonight. In 1 hour and 55 minutes, we will not be able to talk about politics, thank God, or Brexit, thank God, or any of those things. So in the time I am allowed to say whatever I want, sack Rees-Mogg. There you go, there you go. Sack that scumbag. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Now, regular listeners, we want your spooky stories tonight, guys, because who knows? If it's good enough, it might make it into print. Regular listeners to the show will know that when we are low on callers or content, he says, laughingly, we dig out Chat It's Fate, which was... Did I get that for you as a Christmas present last year?
Yeah, it was last year's Christmas present. Best. I don't know how you're going to top that, to be honest.
Well, I'll get you another subscription for Chat It's Fate, probably.
Yes.
Best Christmas present ever?
Yes.
Huh? What kind of stuff does it have in there?
Well,
for those
let me
that
tell
might
you about
it?
The edition that I have in my hand here. November 19, front cover. I mean, it's always a treat.
Yes.
Gives you a little taster of what is within.
Yeah.
Get rich with the help of the dead. My wife was a gift from the fairies. You're going to die, mummy. And my son was right.
Whoa!
3 decades of hell because I summoned the devil.
Yep, you shouldn't mess with that stuff.
Sent by aliens to save the planet.
Oh.
I smell lilies, then death follows. And Samhain spells to make you shine.
And we genuinely love this magazine, and we approach it with a bit of tongue-in-cheek from time to time. Some of the stories, though, I totally devour.
It's
I think
a
they're
joy.
Wonderful. I'm thrilled to say, and we've been promising this for weeks, Amanda Fleetstra is here, the editor of the Chat It's Fate?
Editor of Chat It's Fate.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank
we've
you.
Been talking about this for ages, and then I think there was something... Oh, everyone in your house had the lurgy, and then I think I had a week off, and then there were protests, and...
It's almost as if the spirits are trying to keep us apart.
Someone doesn't want us to talk about this stuff. That's what's going on. So nice to meet you, Amanda, because we've been exchanging tweets and emails for ages. Give us a little bit of background. Your relationship with Chat It's Fate. How did you get involved with this?
I used to work on Chat, actually, which was the sort of... I don't know if you've seen Chat. It's just Women's Weekly. And then they did the spin-off and I got moved across to work on Chat It's Fate. And somehow I've never really left. So
but what was that? So Chat, the kind of stories they have in Chat, have I got this right? My husband was a serial killer and I didn't know it.
Or
I ate my own leg to survive.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Grannies,
oh, hello. There we go. I didn't know it was a dating magazine. There must have been a meeting then in the Chat offices where someone went, Chat is going so well. It's going great. But I think we're missing out on the psychic and spiritual market. We're going to do a sister magazine that deals with the occult.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. But it did. So, yeah. That was before I started working.
Okay.
That was my predecessor, Mary. I think it was her idea, actually.
Right.
And she put the whole thing together. But they had a lot of spooky stories coming in, so they just decided to siphon it all off into a separate magazine.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
And I would like an honest answer.
Yes.
Do you believe in all that stuff?
Yes.
All of it?
Yes. I'm going to say I do.
Really?
Well, I have a slight reservation about aliens, but you know.
Oh, because aliens are the ones that I've
that you do believe in.
I do. I've seen a UFO. Genuinely,
really?
I've seen a UFO. Me and my ex-wife saw a UFO about 12-13 years ago.
Where was it?
It was up in the sky, surprisingly.
Well, yes, but...
We lived in North London. I've told this story so many times, so I'll tell it briefly. We lived in North London, and we were in a first-floor flat, and we stood out on this tiny little balcony. It was a Saturday evening, about 5 o'clock in the summer, very clear sky.
Yeah.
And one of us, and my wife is a journalist. My ex-wife is a journalist. She's very, you know, straight down the line. And one of us said, "Wouldn't it be funny if we saw a UFO now?" And we went, "Yeah, wouldn't it be funny?" And literally 2 minutes later, this bright sort of yellow light just went across the sky. It was daylight, went across the sky in a straight line. And I tapped her and said, "Can you see that?" She went, "Yeah, I can." Wasn't an aeroplane, wasn't one of those Chinese lanterns, wasn't anything like that. It went very fast in a completely straight line. And we just looked at it and went, "Oh my God." And I was telling my boys who are 7 and 9, I was telling them this the other day. I said, "No, we don't believe you." I said, "Guys, go and ask your mum. You know she wouldn't lie about something like that." And it's funny hearing her talking about it after all these years. She went, kind of reluctantly said, yeah, it did happen, actually. What was it, mummy? I just don't know. So I'm into that stuff.
Yeah. Well, weirdly, me and my husband also thought we saw one. We used to live in Ealing in London, and we were cycling along to, is it Northfield Park?
Yeah, yeah.
And Ian looked up and was just like, "What is that?" And there was this silver thing just hanging over the park. But because it was just there, we thought, oh, well, it must just be, you know, a weather balloon or something. So to this day, no idea what that was. I still don't massively believe in them, but
Hang on, you're supposed to be a hard-nosed, spooky journalist. Did you not try and then phone up who would you phone up? I was going to say the FBI. I don't think they'd be much help, Catherine. Who would you call in that?
I would possibly call...
The RAF?
Maybe RAF. British Aerospace.
British Airways. EasyJet.
The Met Office.
That's it.
I have a feeling that my son was one at the time and probably in the basket in the front of Ian's bike and probably taking up all our attention. Aliens forgotten quite quickly.
I have to ask a personal question. You said your husband is called Ian. Can I ask how he's spelling that? Is he spelling it?
I-A-N.
Oh, okay, that's a shame. Okay.
One idea.
Now we have to ask you to leave, I'm afraid. We have one of those guys. So were you... But you believe in ghosts and things?
Oh, yeah. I've been obsessed with this since I was a kid.
Really?
So, I absolutely have always been fascinated with anything to do with magic and you know, ghosts.
Why?
I have no idea. My mum and dad are dentists. it's just one of those things. And my mum's like, she hates that kind of thing. Her favourite book is Swallows on Amazon, so she has no idea where any of this has come from.
Let's put our cards on the table. Catherine don't believe nothing.
Well,
come on.
No, here's the thing. When I was
younger, went on a ghost hunt once in a haunted pub, and it was so embarrassing. It was just like Catherine became very sarcastic and
really
could call out. Blake was going, "Right, go on, guys, call out for the ghost." You just went, "Ghost!" Nah, there's nothing here.
I never used to be like that. I think until I was about probably about 25, I completely believed in everything.
Yeah.
But then it just, I guess it's kind of part of growing up. The magic drifts away. And then I got taken to see a psychic and she was obviously just a fraudster and that was the last bit of magic snuffed out.
Well, I think that's part of it is growing up. You lose that spiritual connection with the magic world.
I've obviously just never grown up.
No, this is it. I was for a long time, when I was 20, I went on a crystal healing course.
Right.
Like, there's this really nice, you know, sort of mum's house. She was running this course and it was all middle-aged women. And me, this sort of 20-year-old thing, and I bought into that for a long time, and then I didn't. But I would say within the last 2 or 3 years, Catherine, I have rediscovered.
You've opened your third eye.
I know, and I apologise for that. I was very drunk that night. It was not what I intended to be. I'm buying back into this. I think there is more than this physical world has to offer.
Yeah.
How do you get your stories? Is it all people writing in?
A lot of it is, yeah. I mean, I get a lot through social media. That's right. been really useful since, you know, Facebook and all of that.
So someone will tweet, oh, I saw a ghost the other day. And
I'll taste it up, yeah.
Wow.
But people obviously contact me directly as well with stories, so I get that a lot through social media as well. And I've got obviously some freelancers who are excellent who do various bits and pieces for us.
But
you get them.
If you've got a spooky story, of anything, 0344... 499-1000. We want to hear it. Put your headphones on, please, Amanda, okay. The editor of Chat It's Fate. We've got Alan Caddick on the line. If it's too loud, there's a volume. If you follow that cable, it'll go to a little volume knob.
That's
and you
can...
Right. Hello, Alan.
Hiya, Mark. Hi, Kath. Hi, Amanda.
Hiya.
Alan, have you ever seen a ghost?
I've seen Ghostbusters loads of times.
That's a movie.
Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah,
that's my favourite movie.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, I love Ghostbusters.
Who's your favourite Ghostbuster?
I'm going to say Venkman.
Peter? Why Peter?
He's funny.
Alan's furious with you. Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, I tried to watch it with the kids. It's a bit inappropriate in some places.
I didn't realise when I was a kid just how predatory Peter Venkman is.
Yeah.
He's just always sniffing around. It's awful.
But I quite enjoyed the recent Ghostbusters. I thought that was...
The one with Melissa McCarthy.
That's the one, Alan, yes.
I wasn't a fan of that.
Were you not? It was okay.
I preferred the original with Bill Murray, then I called Harold Ramis.
There you go. Those are some of the names. So you've never seen a ghost yourself or had any spooky encounters?
I did have a vision once.
Go on, what was your vision?
Of my nan.
Go on, tell us, go on.
She died in 2000. And I was sitting, looking at my mum out because she had to answer the call later. And the bin just moved.
And it was your nan moving the bins?
We thought my nan was blowing on the bin liner.
Your nan was blowing off on a bin liner?
No, she was blowing on the bin liner to make it move.
Would she have done that in life?
No.
So what made you think it was your nan then, Alan?
It was what I thought. It was my first thing I thought of.
Did your mum leave the toilet door open?
No.
Okay. Wow. And how did it make... this is the important thing. How did it make you feel?
We were a bit spooked, but frankly, we had a Ghostbuster in our family at the time, which was our dad, and he narrowed it down to the heat from the radiator moving the bin liner.
Okay, you probably shouldn't have told us that last bit of the story.
Some say Ghostbuster, some say scientist. Yeah.
Amanda put her pen down, going, "This could be a." It was physics that did it. Thank you very much, Alan. I appreciate that, mate. And 0344 499 1000. We've got Amanda Fleetstra here, editor. Am I getting the name right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thank you, editor of Chat It's Fate. If you want to give us a call, you can. If you want to phone up about other stuff, you know, you're more than welcome to. We carry on doing the nonsense, even though we've got a guest here for the first hour. 0344 499 1000. This is the late night alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Ian and Kath are pretty much political free zone. We might talk about... before midnight, while we can, how Jacob Rees-Mogg should resign or be fired for his outrageous comments. But before we get anywhere near that, if you want to give us a call, I'd really like to hear your spooky stories. We had my kids came in once, and they would have been 6 and 8 at the time. And my young, and I'd said to them, "If you want, you can come on the air, and you can ask a question, and we can put it out and see if people find it." And my 6-year-old had a question: "Have you ever seen a ghost?"
Good question.
It's a great question. And he was sat on the other side of it was a slightly smaller studio. He was sat there, and he asked it, and people phoned in with actual ghost stories. And he started shaking and he started crying. And there was a story about a dog that was transparent.
No, they saw the outline of a cat. That's what it was. So the outline.
Yeah.
And he'd heard it as, well, what that suggested to him, instead of being the silhouette of a cat, he was thinking of an inside-out cat.
Yeah. And then he sat on my lap and was sobbing. I said, "It's all right, son, I'll ask them." "Yes, please, Amy." He said, I said, "I'll ask them to stop telling the stories and they'll stop." He went, "No, I want them to carry on." And he was terrified. Got so much trouble with his mum because he was having nightmares for weeks after about that bloody
inside
cat.
About
that cat. We were talking in the break about ghost hunters. Thanks to Alan's comment there about having a Ghostbuster in the family. We've been on one kind of... We did the show from a haunted pub.
I've been on a couple in my career.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts?
We did one at the place where we used to work because there was some links with a murder in the area. And lots of talk for years about, you know, a haunted basement and stuff. So we had ghost hunters there once, I remember.
And did anything happen?
It was the same vibe again. For me, what I've found is, and it may be that I've just been unlucky, but I've been around groups who seem to be, I don't know, sort of winding each other up. So one person would hear something and then the other person said, "Oh yeah, and I also heard a dog barking. Did you hear that?" And it was all suggestion. And what I would really like is, you know, some quiet and to be... Because sometimes the atmosphere of places, you can feel that. Even someone like me who is sceptical, there is an atmosphere. But if it's just listening to... It's like the politics within a group, it's kind of off-putting.
Amanda, you were saying... Amanda's editor of Chats of Fate. You were saying that you've not been on a ghost...
I've been to a few seances and so
seances,
I haven't
right.
been on sort of one of those big kind of organised kind of things. But I've been to one at Oxford Castle.
Okay.
Did a seance there and one at Lemley
Castle. When you say a seance, here's one of the weird things, right? I don't really believe in seances.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to do one on the air. It's against the broadcasting rules. Yeah, we looked into it. You're not allowed to. In the same way, you're not allowed to hypnotise someone live on the air. You're not allowed to do a seance.
And it's the same reason at the beginning of Most Haunted, it'll say this is for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
But it seems funny, you know. I have a couple of Ouija boards at home for some reason, and it would be against the rules of radio for me to bring it in and get a glass or a planchette and go, "Right, everyone, we're going to do this and do it." Or I couldn't suggest now that we all hold hands and we summon the spirits.
I would never do a Ouija board.
Would you not? I've written so many
Ouija board gone wrong stories in my career that there's no way I'm touching.
Nothing happens. I've got one on this. A friend of mine, a mate of mine, Dan, who's an artist, made one for me based around a guy called Frank Sidebottom. And it's a stunning work of art. It's in my living room. But we did a show once and I had this Ouija board with me and I got it out and I said, and I was about to do it. I said, "Look, is there anyone in the room who's scared of this? Because if you are, we will stop." And this woman at the back went, "I'd really rather that you didn't." I went, "Not a problem, it's gone." We got rid of it. But so what are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, actually, when I was a kid, I did a Ouija board with a friend of mine and her two brothers.
Oh, you were such a weird kid. I love it. I think I was really quite old, like you. Yeah.
And it was all really strange. I can't remember what message did come through, but she used to live in the most sinister place by an abandoned insane asylum.
What?
Amanda!
They kicked everyone out with the whole care in the community thing in Thatcher's time. So there was just this abandoned thing. We were there doing a seance and doing it ahead with the Ouija board, and it was all went really weird. And the glass that we were using smashed, but literally smashed half in half.
Stop it.
And then a week later, her brother had a really bad accident. So I have no idea if they were connected, but in my head, that's always been, and it was really bad. I've always connected them mentally. So for me, it's always been like something I would never go near, not after that.
I was using it as a mouse mat for a while. And I kept going to, like, porny witch sites. It was very sexywitches.com. So you genuinely buy most of the stuff that's in your magazine. You're not one of those cynical editors going, get me those goddamn ghost stories. You're believing
but
this.
I talk to all these people and I know they believe it.
Yes.
Right. So that's the thing, isn't
so,
it?
So, yeah. So, you know, they all, the ritual having, it's all in completely good faith.
Mm.
And they believe it. And, you know, I take them at their word. So, yeah.
Let's put our headphones
that's
on.
That's the part I find fascinating.
Yeah. We've got Kev on the line. Good evening, Kev.
Good evening, sir. How are you? All right?
Very well, Kev. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I've got a couple of spooky stories.
Yes.
Makes me hair stand on end thinking about it.
Okay. Any chance you could turn your sat-nav down a little bit, Kev? It's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm on my way to a breakdown.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in the Royal Navy. It was on... Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, sorry. We're just doing really, really bad jokes. You carry on.
All right. I was in the Navy, and I was in the Adriatic on HMS Illustrious.
Yeah.
I haven't been on the ship that long. There's two stories, and they fried me to death. And I needed a wee halfway through my watch.
Yes.
So to the heads, the toilets, and I was having it, and I heard someone sniff behind me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's just, you know, someone in the trap, you know, doing a number two.
Okay.
Anyway, I finished there, put it all away, turned round, and there was just a wall behind me.
Ooh.
A bulkhead, frightening me to death. I went back in the ops room, white, and they would say, what's up with you? And I told them the story, and they all laughed at me. But the worst one is, the scariest one of them all, where I was, again, on HMS Illustrious, we were at the ammunitioning buoys, so you weren't alongside anywhere, you were out to sea in the harbour. There's no one else about, no boats come there, because obviously put missiles and everything on the ship. And there's two gangways on the aircraft carrier. You have the ship's company one and the ceremonial one. And I was a quartermaster and I was on the ceremonial gangway. Because we had no officers or gold or VIPs coming on board, and it was like midnight on the middle watch, so we're bored. But in the ship's company gangway,
yes,
they have all the good magazines and things that you can have a look at.
I don't even want to know what those magazines might be, you dirty so-and-so.
Oh, no, nothing like that. You know, Men's Health and things, etc., GQ and all that sort of stuff.
Big boats.
So I went down... yeah. I went at a Navy News, obviously. So I went down there to in the QM's caboose, you call it, like a desk, in there to have a rummage through his magazines. Anyway, I heard someone go, imagine someone like putting your mouth to a thing. Shh. So we looked over, it's pitch black, there's no one there, we're at sea, sort of thing, anchored to a buoy. And I thought, oh God, what was that? I thought it was one of the stokers, the engineers, doing his rounds, telling me to shore up. Anyway, but there was like the oil, big, you know, the big 50 gallon oil cans, oil barrels.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
And I walked over to them thinking he's hiding behind that. So if you're sat at your desk, imagine someone coming right up to your face and going, shh, and you'll hear that and you'll see them. But that's what happened to me. Someone come right up to my face. It was cold anyway, so I went, shh. I've never sprinted and run down the hangar of that ship in any as quick as in my life. It absolutely frightened. It's made me shake just thinking about it now. I've never seen a ghost,
but
they're my two spooky things.
One has told you to shut up. And did you tell the rest of the people on the boat, or did you keep it to yourself?
No, I told everybody, obviously.
And did they have a similar experience?
When you're down the mess deck with a few tinnies, you get all the ghost stories now, like the white dog and things like that. But a lot of them are all like folklore and naval folklore, if you know what I mean. Spinning the dick, as they say.
Spinning the dick, did he say?
Delta India Tango.
Oh, the dick. Spinning the dick. I prefer spinning the dick, actually. But thank you, Kev, for that story. Thank you very much indeed. What does a story take, Amanda, to make it into Chat It's Fate? That's a great story from Kev. I'm guessing it's not quite enough. You'd need a bit more to get into your hallowed pages. What are you looking for?
Yeah, something a bit different. We get a lot of stories that are obviously people who've got people in spirit that are talking to them, sending signs. We've got a lot of signs, lots of feathers from angels. So, but I mean, those are still lovely. But yeah, I guess because we're onto the hard stuff now, you know, we've done all of those.
You're done with the feathers. You're done with Nana sending some feathers on the anniversary of death. You want the hard stuff.
We want the hard stuff. A bit of Satanism, you know.
Look at her eyes.
She wants apparitions.
Glowing red.
I want demons. People like demons. But they do like all the angel stuff as well, so...
You would think that now in 2019, the demonic stuff would have died down because, you know, religion is being less and less subscribed to. But the demon seems to be persisting,
demons
right?
Demons are opening.
Yeah, exactly. The demon thing seems to persist.
Yeah, they're really popular. People love a demon and an entity. Although I actually, if anyone's got an entity story, I would love an entity. I haven't had one of those for ages. We did a story I mentioned before.
Succubus.
Yeah.
That's, you want a good succubus?
That would be fabulous. And also I'd love a curse.
Oh.
If somebody has a really good curse story, that would be amazing.
What's the difference between an entity and a ghost?
An entity possesses part of you, but it's not a person generally. It's a sort of untangible spirit.
Like a dark
thing. Yeah,
vibe
like
thing.
A sort of, it is kind of demonic, vaguely.
Let's stop beating around the bush. There's only one reason we got you in here. Catherine's got a big crush on Roy DeLune.
Oh my God.
This is the only reason you're here. We've done the chat. We've done the plugging. She wants Roy DeLune's phone number.
I love Roy DeLune. I'm obsessed with him.
Now, just remind us and the listener what Roy does. He's got an amazing look.
Yes.
A very distinct look.
He's kind of part Robert Smith from The Cure, part Noel Fielding.
Mm.
Right? Okay.
Good-looking guy.
He's a renowned dream analyst and psychic phenomena guru with over 20 years' experience. I mean, for example... All right, let's just read this one out. This is from November 2019. This is the first one. A fishy tale. Dear Roy, spell R-O-I, by the way.
Of course.
I had a weird dream in which my two goldfish had died and I had to remove them from the fish tank. Only when I did, I found they had tiny cat's heads. And
sorry.
Don't laugh, this is a dream.
Sorry.
And they had really bright staring eyes too. That's from Isabella Charlesworth, 31, from London. Dear Isabella. Goldfish symbolise wealth and success, happy adventuring or emotional insights. The cat's heads could mean you're in a situation where your own feminine, emotional, sexual or independent spirit is under threat in some way. But you can see the threat clearly and you're not under any illusion about this. You've got this! So, you know, he's given her solid advice.
Wise advice.
And he gets paid for this, does he?
Yes.
Wow, he draws a wage for this.
Roy, what does he sound like, Roy DeLune?
I've met him at a party once, but I can't really remember.
Is he southern or is he northern?
I don't know. We mainly communicate over email. He's in America at the moment.
Telepathic.
So, yeah.
I would love to know what he sounds like.
And how do you find... Was Roy there when you came on board?
Yeah, I inherited Roy.
You inherited Roy.
Yeah.
And are those letters real? Come on now.
I think so. I mean, he sources them himself. But I think he gets them because he's on tour a lot. So, because quite a few of them are from America, which is where he's touring at the moment.
Right.
So I think they are people that...
So he does live shows?
Yeah, he does live shows.
Wow. And listen, our tongue is slightly in our cheek here. But I've got a lot of respect for so many of these people. And Roy has provided us with some great entertainment. He's on tour, Catherine. We could go and see a
Roy... I'm not going to follow him to America, but if he comes over here, I'll be there.
We could go and see a Roy DeLune...
I'd love to.
...show. That would be fantastic. Do you get... I've got a suspect we might have a phone call. A couple of names on it. They're all good people, don't worry. But I suspect one of these phone calls is going to poo-poo you.
Okay.
And what you do... Do you get a lot of emails or tweets or... Do people get in touch and say, what is this crap that you are banging on about?
You get a few people taking the piss. Can I say that?
You can say all taking the piss.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
But generally, the people who contact us are interested in the subject.
Well, let's see where this goes then. Good evening, Ollie.
Hello, everybody.
Ollie has a very scientific mind.
That's fine. I'm married to a physics person.
No.
So, yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Here we go.
Degree in physics.
Here we go, Ollie. Argue with that.
Well, I didn't come to argue. I was come to contribute.
Okay, go on.
But does Chat It's Fate give out money for exclusive ghost stories?
What's the seller story?
Sometimes, yes.
I want $25,000 for my story.
Drop me an email.
Oh,
well, hang on a minute.
Should I save it for that?
Give us a little sniff of the story and I'll tell you what it's worth financially.
I could be possessed by an entity.
Oh, right.
Wow.
You're going to angle yourself. You're going to become entity bait. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I think I have been, but there might be a scientific reason for it. But I would like to give you my story.
Brilliant. Don't just phone up to broker a deal, Ollie. It's not how this works. Tell us a story. If it's good enough, Amanda will put you in her excellent magazine. But I suspect she probably won't, because already it sounds like crap.
When I was 14, I was very sleepy. And I woke from my sleepy state to find a shadow on the wall. And then I woke up and noticed the shadow moved.
Could I ask you not to tell the story, but try and get rid of that sarcastic tone?
Sorry.
Doesn't do you any favours.
Put the drama in. People like the drama. It's like for the money.
I think he's going for an eldritch voice.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And when I noticed it didn't move with me. Yeah. It moved towards me into my body.
Did you feel any changes afterwards?
I felt really calm afterwards, actually.
Oh, a positive entity.
Which part of your body did it enter?
my midsection.
Oh.
Your belly button.
Or lower.
Maybe. But I would like to add some science now.
Okay.
I was deeply anorexic at the time and might have been seeing the whole thing.
Right.
Buzzkill, Ollie. Thanks. Jeez.
She's just ripped up a check.
And it was for $25,000, Ollie.
Oh,
unlucky. Listen, because Ollie phones the show a lot, and I've become friends with him off air, and we play video games together. You've always struck me as quite a fact-based person. Are you telling me now that you kind of buy into this stuff?
I think all the time I knew it was anorexia, but I was... I was spiritual at one point in time. I was, like, very religious, because I went to a religious school.
Wow.
And then I went the other way.
You went Satanist? That's the other way.
Scientist,
oh, okay. That's the midway. Right. The midway.
Yeah. How does the marriage work with a science person?
That's a great question. How does your marriage work? Because mine didn't.
We get on surprisingly well.
Yeah,
we just don't talk ghosts or physics. It's fine.
Really?
No, we do a bit. Not physics, because that's really boring.
Physics is... Well, here's the thing. It's possible that some physics can explain some psychic phenomena, and vice versa. There is a kind of connection.
Yeah.
And also, I heard... I was listening to a show on this station, and David Baddiel was on, and he's written a play where a physicist is kind of forced to admit, using maths, that actually there is a chance that God could exist. It's a tiny chance, or that miracles could happen. It's a tiny chance. Stay there, Ollie, don't worry. But shut up. It's a tiny chance, but mathematically a miracle could... Please be quiet, Ollie. I'm talking to the guests.
Sorry.
Thank you. Unbelievable. Mathematically a miracle could happen.
Check is working out.
Right, I'm cutting you off. Goodbye. And David Baddiel said that he spoke to Brian, he spoke to a physicist about all of this, and that there are huge parts of physics that you kind of just have to believe in. There's no real evidence for it. It's just a theory, and you just have to believe in it in the same way you have to believe in God, or you can believe in ghosts and things like that.
Right, so there's an element of faith required.
There's an element of faith in it, because you just cannot explain this theory. You know, there is no tangible evidence that this theory works. I think it's quantum physics or something, string theory or something.
Yeah, because you can get to time travel through that as well, can't you?
Yeah. So he doesn't buy ghosts, your husband? He's not...
Actually, well, he doesn't, but then we do live in a haunted house, so he has had a ghostly experience that he can't find a scientific reason
what
for.
What happened in your house?
I was out with my son up at the yard with my horse, and he was putting our daughter to bed. She was about 7 at the time, so this must have been... Oh, no, she was a bit younger, actually. But, yeah, so he was putting her to bed in her bedroom. He was on his own. He heard what he thought was me come in through the front door, walk up the stairs, and then knock on her bedroom door, which he thought was odd, because why would I knock on her door? I mean, he turned around and said, come in. Nobody there. And I got back about 10 minutes later, and he was completely freaked out. And he says, you know, being a science person, he just can't explain it, but he thinks there must be a rational explanation for it.
I love it. What is... we haven't got the December issue
yet.
Not yet.
Should arrive around the 15th.
Do we know... Are you allowed to tease what might become... Oh, you don't know, do you? I've put you on the spot.
There's January. Is it December?
I'm on November.
December's out now.
Oh, well, maybe your subscription's ended. That is a possibility. That is a distinct possibility. See, I thought he only signed you up for 6 months, but we got a year's worth.
Spooky.
So
we've got Angels, this one. What else have we got in there? I generally like a balance of Angels and Demons.
Yeah. Oh, good and evil. You've got to get the 50-50.
You've got to, don't you? Yeah. I think, you know, my readers are about 50-50 on the sort of happy, fluffy unicorns and the hands coming out of graves. Yeah. So I like to get a balance between the two. So I think I can't actually remember what's in it.
I'm
on January now. I've almost finished January, so.
I like you a lot because I wasn't sure. I kind of expected a Stevie Nicks kind of slightly, you know, flowery skirts and that kind of vibe. And you've come in and you're straight down the line. You're very sensible and very, you know, matter of fact and with it. And I was expecting, Catherine, a kind of.
To waft in smelling of
joss sticks. That was it. I was expecting a witch to waft in smelling of joss sticks. I don't know where these calls are going to go. Let's try Gary first. Good evening, Gary.
Hello, mate.
Hello, Gary. What have you got for us?
Backstory, or just want the exorcism bit?
Wow. That all sounds good.
Hello? Let's give us whatever you want to give us, Gary. This sounds like gold, mate.
Hello?
Gary?
Oh, no, I want the exorcism story now.
Gary?
Come back.
I'm here.
Yeah, what happened?
It's a long story. I've got my phone. I'm going to pull over. Wait there.
All right, well, come to you in a minute, Gary. God, this is... I think that's a phone call from beyond the grave itself. Tyrell, how am I pronouncing your name?
It's Tyrell.
Tyrell, OK, there we go, Tyrell. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Cass.
Hi.
It's the first time I've ever rung a radio station, so you'll just have to excuse me if I'm a bit nervous.
OK.
I love your show. I've been listening to it for a couple of months and I'm hooked every night now. I had a paranormal experience when I was 12, when I was at boarding school. We used to watch movies up at the school chapel, which was detached from the main building. And after we'd watched a film one night, we were ushering all the younger kids into their dormitories. And as I went down into the main building, I could see a light downstairs where we used to have an old school notice board.
Yes.
And we had an old school notice board and the new school notice board were at opposite 90 degree angles to each other. And when I looked over the staircase, I could see a boy reading off the notice board, off the old notice board, but there was nothing on it.
Yes.
So I shouted down to him and told him to go to bed, and he just ignored me. So I went down the spiral staircase to shout him again to tell him to go to bed. And as I got closer to him, I just got a really strange feeling. I got very, very cold, and I started to feel upset. So I went a little bit closer. I was sort of drawn to him. And then he turned round and his eye sockets were hollow.
Ooh.
There was nothing there.
That is terrifying.
But he looked at me, he looked through me and he just smiled. Well, I ran screaming upstairs.
Yes.
Shouted the other prefect and we charged through all the dormitories because we thought somebody was playing a joke.
Yes, I know that feeling, yes.
And all the other kids were in bed. There was nobody out of their bed. Anyway, the next day, I went to one of the senior teachers in the school who'd been there the longest. And I asked him, has there ever been a ghost experience at the school? So he asked me what had happened, and I told him. And he went very quiet. And then he spoke to me about a boy who was at the school in the 1930s. And the boy used to chew the buttons off his rugby shirt. And what had happened was a button had got lodged in his throat. And because the button couldn't be picked up by anybody, you know, it couldn't be seen because it had lodged quite low down, he gradually became very ill and he died.
Yeah.
And the teacher took me into the school grounds. And at the far end of the school grounds, there's about 70, 80 acres of school grounds. at the far end of the school ground in the woods was a memorial stone to this boy, dated up until the year that he died. And everything, the old notice board, which hadn't been used for years, everything sort of fitted into place. And ever since then, I've been able to detect spirits.
Wow.
So I can go into buildings and sense whether or not there is a spirit living within that area.
Now this, Amanda, this is a great story. Yeah. Now, supposing you'd met Tyrell and he told you this story, would you just take him at face value? Would you? I mean, there's no way you can kind of fact check this, is there?
He obviously means it.
He's telling it in a very convincing way.
That's a brilliant
story. Well, I mean, I can give you the name of the school. You see, it could be sort of cross-referenced from that. The school's actually closed down now.
Okay.
But the
so you now have down. You now would say that what you have, what some people might call the gift.
I can hear spirits. They do try and talk to me. But I seem to have a bit of a blockage because whenever I try to converse with any of them, I have difficulty crossing the plane. So although they can shout my name or say hello or cough or walk through me or even their very presence in the building that I'm in, or I can go into a building and say, there's a presence here, but I can't seem to be able to take it any further.
Okay.
I think that's what most people, I mean, realistically, they're ghosts, aren't they? If they could communicate fully, they'd be doing that, but they can't.
Now, that's left me uncomfortable, and Catherine smirking.
No, not smirking. That's not fair. I'm not smirking. I was trying to work out how...
I was expecting. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get a lot of prank callers, Amanda. So I'm always waiting for the punchline.
I was waiting for the punchline.
I'm always waiting for the gag.
Didn't quite understand why he had hollow eyes. If I'm honest.
Is eating buttons, wasn't it?
He's just dead.
He's just dead.
They don't look good.
Why so horrific? Yeah, that was the bit where I kind of waited for the punchline that something was going to happen. Like, but it didn't come.
All right,
I found it fascinating, and obviously Tyrell. Thank you, Tyrell.
Thank you. Let's go to Gary. I want to hear Gary's exorcism before we have a quick break. Go on, Gary.
Well, do you want a bit of a backstory, or do you want me to just go straight into it?
Well, whatever works best.
Well, I'll give you a quick backstory. I was just taking up photography, and a friend of mine asked me if I wanted some work, and I said, well, what is it? You know, I need to know exactly what it is. So she goes, well, just go and meet him. So I went to meet this guy, right, and he wanted an aura photographer. Yeah. Like, do you know what an aura is?
I know what an aura is. It's the energy that surrounds us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And we've all got one. And he had this machine and this camera, and, you know, it took photographs of your aura. He just wanted someone to man it, really. It's not like you need a degree in photography or anything to do it. So anyway, I goes, yeah, whatever, he's going to pay me. And so I started working with him. We'd go to all these psychic fairs, and he'd make a packet of money doing these 50 quid a time, do you know what I mean? And he'd read the photograph. Anyway, right, this guy used to make money hand over fist. I couldn't believe how much money he was making from his psychic powers. One day, we went to this woman's house, and this is the exorcism bit. She was having a problem with a friend of hers who was giving her really bad energy and sucking her dry, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, psychic vampire type person.
Yes.
And she wanted a shot of her. So me and his name was Vince, went round to her house. We're in her kitchen.
Gary and Vince.
Quite a big kitchen. What?
Gary and Vince doing an exorcism, yes.
That's...
I like it. It's a good team. I'd watch that.
Do you know what? I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Go on.
Anyway, so we're in the kitchen, right? He's got a chair, he's put it in the middle of the kitchen, and he sat her down, right? And he's got out this bundle of twigs, which I understand is sage now, and it's all, you know, wrapped up. And he's lit it, and it's smoking. And I'm not joking, he's walking around her, and he's doing like a Native American...
around absolutely spot-on, right? Impression, yep.
Right?
I'm laughing because it's hysterical, but this is true, right? So anyway, we're walking. He's walking around it. I'm watching, thinking, this is barking, man. What's the matter with me? What am I doing here? Do you know what I mean? I'm doing this for money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anyway, he's kind of stopped and he's held it at her chest in front of her, right? And Vince has turned around to me and he said, can you hold this here for a minute? So I was like, yeah, whatever. I've grabbed it. I didn't move it. I just held it in the same position that he'd had it in. And all of a sudden, I had this bolt of energy go through my hand, through my wrist, all the way up my arm, and bashed me in the chest. Whatever it was, walloped straight into me. Scared the bejesus out of me. Honestly, I couldn't believe it.
Is it still in there?
Sorry?
Is it still in there?
You tell me, love.
Walloped, this bolt of energy. I love it.
I don't know if it was like his energy or the bad energy that she was expelling. I imagine it was his energy rather than hers.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
But you felt it. You felt... You physically...
I absolutely felt it. Yeah, it was like electric, honestly. This was like 25, 30 years ago. Couldn't believe it. Honestly, right, listen. And beforehand, right...
There we go.
I used to be like, it's all a load of mumbo-jumbo. What a load of nonsense. But working with Vince for that length of time... I could see things happening and I couldn't explain them. I was listening to him giving readings and honestly, it was like none of this couldn't be primed for my benefit. So I don't know where he was getting it from.
You sound like a very sensible, down-to-earth geezer. Wallop, geezer. You know. So, Amanda, when you hear something like this...
Yeah.
I believe Gary's story.
Yeah, I'm thinking Vince in the mag.
What I'm saying happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a spirit or whatever.
The thing.
I'm just saying that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Right? As I say, I'm still a bit sceptic. My mum, when she was a kid, she said she saw a ghost and it was lying on the road. I don't know, do you know what I mean? It's like that's what she used to say. But then again, in 1977, we got burgled, right? And this is in Slough, just up the road from Britwell, where you come from,
Ian. I used to live in Britwell, yeah.
You used to live in Rowan Way on the estate there. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do know. I was a month away.
The Farnham Road.
Yes.
I used to live there. Yes. Anyway, we got burgled, and my mum suspected my auntie's husband of burgling us. So she went to a seance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
This is like a little Italian peasant woman.
Yes.
Who went to a seance in 1977. Right? I'll tell you why I remember it was 1977. Because it was just after Elvis had died.
Okay.
And Elvis...
The show finishes at 1 o'clock, Gary, just to flag that up.
Well, I haven't even known yet. I've still got half an hour drive. But yeah, Elvis... It wasn't Elvis, but it was somebody about Elvis.
What happened at the seance?
That was it. It's nothing to do with Elvis.
Okay, go on.
They did describe the person who burgled the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did look a bit like, he did sound like my auntie's husband, my stroke uncle-in-law.
And was it him?
Don't know.
Great story, Gary. Great story.
So
I would have ended with the wallop, the bolt of energy in the chest. But that's the thing. We'll take one more call. Let's put those two breaks together so we can finish a little bit early. We'll speak to Stuart in a second. Chris and Alistair, we won't have time for you this hour, but we will speak to you in the next hour. Stuart, I'll come to you. But that's the thing. I believe Gary's story.
Yeah, I believe him.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he imagined it, but I believe that he believes that happened. And that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all you can take away from that. Have you had any stories that have been too scary to put in?
Nothing that's been too scary. No.
You're quite warped. You've got a sick
side. I'm very warped. So
you put it in there. I've got to ask.
Yeah.
The haunted arse.
Yes.
You mentioned this on an email.
Yeah.
What is the story about a haunted arse?
It was a few years ago and the story came through a freelance, but I did the read back where you ring the person and read their story back to them to check they're all happy with it. And he was a young guy, quite good looking, about 25, I think. And he claimed that he heard, when he farted, he heard a satanic voice saying his name. He said it very sincerely as well.
Gosh, that explains you.
Yes, right.
There's also a sulfur smell.
Give me that.
Wow.
And he had himself exorcised.
Well, where'd they put that sage?
Wowzers! There's a story.
Thing is, though, if you are the devil, you're going to do something like that because no one will believe them.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from me. Almost no one will believe them.
Golly gosh. Isn't that amazing? Say we've had a couple of people from who've been featured in the magazine come on, and they've been so delightful, haven't they? So really delightful. I'm struggling to remember the first person that we...
Was it a witch-based thing?
Could have been a witch-based thing. I remember the young woman with the tea shop and her husband who'd been poorly.
Yes.
But I can't remember what the other one was. But they were very delightful.
And here's the thing. I don't disbelieve the people we've spoken to. I have spoken to some people who I don't believe.
Yeah.
But the people we've spoken to recently, and I have spoken to people in my past, you know, as a reporter, and I believe that that's what happened to them, right? Just because that sort of thing hasn't happened to me doesn't mean it's not possible.
We've had some good calls. Should we risk one more call before we let Amanda out? We unlock the door and let her go. Let's try Stuart. Good evening, Stuart.
Hello, Ian. Sorry, I've been giggling away in the background there. My story is not as good as the arse story, I don't think. But
but which story anyway, is?
Well, go on. What have we got, Stuart?
So basically, back in school, went into sports, and I was obsessed with my pulse, okay? So, you know, getting it as low as possible.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in my lounge with my fingers on my artery counting.
Okay.
And I got down to 34 per minute, which is really, really low.
Yeah.
My mum was in the lounge, my brother was in the lounge, and then all of a sudden I was looking from above. I left my body. Basically. Now, I don't know how long this lasted, but I soon got snapped back. And my mum and my brother were looking at me, worried. Now, however I looked when I was doing that, I have no idea, but it scared the heck out of me. And I stopped delving into getting my pulse as low as possible.
How did you make your pulse as low as possible? Was it like breathing?
Breathing exercises. Just sat down, legs crossed. I guess you'd call it meditation, but
so,
I was just...
So tempted to ask you to do it now, but I won't.
Oh, honestly, it's...
It scared you, didn't it?
It did scare me, but it's just...
What do you think happened?
I have no idea. Part of me thinks, did I actually die? My pulse is so low, but I don't know.
And have you spoken? How old were you when you did this?
14, 15.
And have you spoken to your mum, you know, more recently about it? Remember that time?
I've never told her that I saw from above. I was looking down.
Is your mum still with us?
Yeah.
Could you have that conversation with her now? Do you think she'd remember?
I doubt she would remember.
Right.
She's a bit, you know, I don't think so. I don't know if my brother would either. You know, I mean, my brother's 3 years older than me, but they both were looking at me and asked me if I was okay.
God, have a chat with your brother. Say, do you remember that time when it looked like I passed down?
Well,
and if he remembers it, say, look, this sounds crazy, but this is what was going on for me.
Yeah.
Stuart, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I love the way, man, you just sit there nodding very sagely hearing these stories.
I was slightly jealous of his out-of-body experience. I'd love one.
I bought a book when I went to university. I bought a book on how to astral project.
Did you?
And I couldn't do it.
No.
I couldn't do it. Because I was into hypnotism. I learned hypnotism. And this at the time, I don't see it as much now, this astral projection looked like the next kind of step forward, but I couldn't do it. There's all these tricks about you go to bed thirsty and you put a glass of water in the kitchen and I would just wake up and go and get the glass of water, so it didn't happen.
No.
You've never had anything?
I can lucid dream sometimes, when you control your dreams.
Yeah.
But I've never astrally projected. That would be amazing. I've done quite a lot of these things. I have done a bit of, you know, shamanic stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all fascinating. And stuff does happen. So, yeah, it's great.
What do you do in your lucid dreams? Because I have had them a few times. And then I just do really boring
things. Yeah, so do I. Really things. Dull things. Like, mainly I'm like, wow, I'm lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Get me.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Have you ever had a lucid dream?
Yeah, where you recognise that you're dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And then what tends to happen is you just control it so things stop being nuts.
Yeah, and then you're flying and then you're like, actually, I can just stop now. And then you're like, oh, I can't do that now. Oh. That was a good bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so the January issue you're compiling now.
Yeah, just finishing
give us,
that
give us a headline
now.
From that. What can we expect? I mean, you'll hear it on this show at some point.
A rapist ghost pinched my bum. And we've got that's our lead story.
On that bombshell. Amanda, it's so nice to meet you.
Thank you
so much for coming in. And
it's been a pleasure.
I appreciate your patience at sorting this out.
And thank you for chat. It's fate, because it's a joy.
It's so good, isn't it?
I'm so pleased to hear that.
We ordered it online. You got your subscription online. You can get it in like Smith's and your usual.
Yeah, you can buy it from Lidl, Asda.
And it's just in the sort of, I hate to say this, I don't mean it sounds demeaning, what we might call in the olden days the sort of women's section.
It's in the generally with the weeklies.
Okay. So, yeah. Amanda Fleetstreet, it's so nice to meet
you.
Keep doing the good work. Send our love to Roy DeLune. We will carry on with your phone calls. Amanda's going, but I'm more than happy to carry on taking your spooky phone calls. Or, you know, we'll do the usual nonsense. 0344. I'm so late for the news. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.